Is this thing still on?
It's been a while. This show's been on hiatus for a couple of months. I told you that Doug and I were going to put something together the likes of which you had not ever seen before, and I still plan to do that. But it's not going to happen in the immediate future because I've got bigger things on my plate right now. So what I wanted to do was, well, something. And Doug and I started talking, and he said, Hey, remember the Deeper Thought podcast you did a couple of years ago? Doug and I decided that we could go through some of those episodes. Over the next several weeks, several months, you're going to get access to what you previously weren't able to. Hopefully, this little provocation will help you sell something that you haven't sold before. And stay tuned for these episodes as they drop week over week. I think you're going to take something away from them. I know you're going to be entertained by them. And I can't wait to talk to you again real soon.
Sales and why it works. Take a deep breath. This is Deeper Thought.
Well, I don't know how this is going to go. For the record, this is take four. And this is something, this is a topic that I've known for a couple of weeks I'm going to have to get into. I've known for a couple of weeks that I've wanted to get into. And I just... it's one of those things, and you'll understand as we get to the episode, the end of the episode, that there are a lot of ways that my brain is getting pulled. And I the title of this episode is Permission to Be Okay. By the end of the episode, you'll know where that comes from. But I'm going to start by saying that I'm not someone who's good at sitting still. I'm not someone who's good at not feeling productive. I'm not someone who is good. While I recognize the importance of stopping and thinking, prioritizing, meditating, doing all those things. And while I don't have an anxiety disorder, I am someone who is so activity driven that sometimes it prevents me from doing the right activities. That's a pretty good way of saying that. And not bad, considering it's take four. So 2020 has been one of those years where it feels like you are in one of two camps. You are either hiding under your blankets, praying for it to end and waiting for it to go away, or you're standing up and looking around like, what? There's nothing different here. No big deal. And I have certainly identified with the latter more than the former. You've heard me say, focus on what you can control, not on what you can't. You've heard me say that no step is too small if it's headed in the right direction. Just keep moving forward. Yep, and I will stand behind that as well. You've heard me say, identify what your priorities are and then execute on those priorities and things are going to work out just fine. And yes, I stand by that. The problem is that I think in my own mind a little bit, and I don't know if this has been... transmitted, or if this is the impression that some other people have gotten, but it kind of feels like in some ways I was almost in denial about this being that rough of a year. You know, look, by and large, my life had a lot of normalcy to it. I played a lot of golf this summer because I didn't travel very much. I got to see a lot of my friends because we do a lot of things outside in the summer. So that was, you know, totally above board to be done up here. And, I still got to talk to people every day. What I didn't really recognize or acknowledge was that my wife and my kids didn't feel the same way. My wife and my kids are having a hard time with this. And that's not to say that they're weaker than I am or anything. I think, if anything, they're more present and more willing to acknowledge that things are weird and that we know it's going to be okay long term, but that doesn't mean that we have to disregard the fact that it's weird right now. Okay. Well, this house has certainly gotten smaller, and it will continue to get smaller as the weather gets colder. And It's interesting for me as I gear up for the winter ahead, as I gear up for 2021, it's interesting for me to kind of recognize all this. And I want to say it out loud. One, because I need to hear it out loud. Two, because I think over the next few minutes here, you may relate to something. You may not just hear the advice I'm going to give you and say, yeah, great, Jeff, that's great advice. Thanks. I'm going to take that and use it. You may see something in me that you've been unable or reticent to recognize on your own. So what I want to talk about is how 2020 kind of messed with my head from a project standpoint, from a priority standpoint, from a business standpoint, the situation it left me in and what I'm going to do about it and what I'm already doing about it. And it starts with this idea of giving yourself permission to be okay. The situation is what it is. The environment is what it is. And it is that way for reasons that are out of our control, and it's okay. But this year, I felt called, I felt pulled in a lot of directions. I felt like there were a lot of things I needed to do, not just to keep myself busy, not just because my clients needed things, but because obstacles like this create opportunities for people like me. And create opportunities for anybody. This is not something that's unique to me. But obstacles like this present big opportunities. And I am determined to take advantage. For the last 9 months, as I'm recording this in December, this felt like a real turning point in my career as a consultant, as a speaker, as an author, as a coach, as a leader. Because with so many people running away from this thing, we all needed more people willing to lean into it. And so then it got confusing. So I wrote the book. Okay, great. Sit down, write a book. Didn't even mean to write a book. The book just, it turned into a book really quickly. So I got it out there. I wrote the workshop to go along with it. I expanded upon some themes that some people really grabbed onto and ran with. And, you know, I'm really proud of the work that I've done. But for whatever reason, that wasn't enough. It felt like I needed to do more. And then the more you think about doing more, the more ideas come into your head. And then which one do I do? And can I do this one? Should I do this one? Hey, you know what? I'm one person. I can't do them all. And if there is a flaw that I had that really presented itself here, it was that I have a tendency to not sit still well. And then when I see one project and I see another project and I see another project, and those projects, it's not exactly clear which one to do first, which one's most important to do, and the priority doesn't make itself clear because sometimes those priorities are harder to distinguish than others. Then the next thing that would come in front of me would be a distraction that was plausible enough to seem like a priority. Oh, my son needs me for something. My wife needs me for something. My daughter's got a question. Oh, there's this thing for the house I got to take care of because the weather needs to be right in order to do it, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden I'm distracted happily. That's really nothing more than a numbing behavior if you think about it. Oh, yeah. You mean something that no one will be mad at me if I do it? Even though I know it's not important as what's right in front of me? Yeah, okay, cool. That's no different than having two beers at the end of the day. It's no different than snacking late before you go to bed. What are these things that you're trying to cover up? That's the real work that needs to be done. In order to do that work, you need to sit still. You need to remind yourself that you're okay. You need to give yourself permission to be okay. I talked to Liz Wendling. She's been a friend for years. You're going to hear her on an episode here next in your feed, actually. And, that was my little deadline, is that I wanted to talk to her about something very close to this. So stay tuned. In a couple of days, you'll hear the next episode. But also making sure that knowing when that episode was going to go, made sure that I had a deadline to record this one. But I was just telling Liz that I was just struggling with these things. And she said, Jeff, you're using the wrong language. You need to be better to yourself. You need to look, words have power. I'll tell you what, I'm going to send you a link. And she sent me a link to a podcast. It was a video podcast, actually, of a guy by the name of Peter Krohn, who calls himself the Mind Architect. And I said, okay, you know, I'll wake up in the morning, I'll turn this thing on, I'll have a cup of coffee, sit still, and watch this podcast, which still seems weird to say. So watching this podcast and I can only get halfway through it because it was heavy. It was really good. It was really heavy. And I remember at the end sitting down, and that's when this question first came to my mind was, what if, Jeff, what if you gave yourself permission to be okay? And I was like, oh man, I'm going to put that one down. Okay. It's in there. It's in the back of my head. It's rattling around. I don't know what to do with that just yet. I know it's significant enough to pay attention to, but I don't know what to do with it. So I'm just going to set it over there. And from that standpoint, I mean, that's really been where my headspace has been. It's what I've meditated on. It's what I've thought about. And as I've talked through it with some friends, as I've talked through it with Liz, I've talked through it with my wife, I've talked through it with Vince Fowler, who you've heard on this show, with Todd Capone, who you have heard on this show, with Jason Bay, who you have heard on this show. I think what it comes down to, and every time I have those conversations with people, I'm reminded of what I know to be true. They point out the things that I'm good at. They help me remember the things that I'm good at. They help me remember the opportunities that are out there. And sometimes when your mind gets wrapped around its own axle, those grounding exercises are actually very energizing. They bring you back down to earth so you can realize the ground under your feet is solid. In reminding yourself of what you know to be true in that regard, I think the key is surrendering to it. I use that word intentionally because it's a very strong word. And even myself, as I'm going through and as I was writing, you know, to prepare for this episode, it's surrender is one of those strange words. It feels like giving up. But what are you giving up? Are you giving up control, or are you giving up the illusion of control? Or are you giving up just being, are you giving up creating a disadvantageous environment for yourself? Right? Surrender feels like it flies in the face of being proactive. How can I surrender, Jeff? I need to act. I need to be a person of action. I need to move forward. Just like you're saying, I need to be active. I need to do things. But I don't think surrender means sit and wait. I think surrender means trust in the work that you've already done to get you where you are and relying on your ability to do the necessary work to get you where you want to go. And that right now, maybe the best thing, in the absence of the right thing, maybe the best thing is to do nothing. Maybe, as they say, discretion is the better part of valor. Maybe when you don't know what the right thing is to do because it feels like there's 14 right things to do and they don't all go hand in hand, well, maybe it's not time to pick one. Maybe it's time to sit. Maybe it's time to just be okay for a minute. Maybe it's time to give yourself the time, the space, the resources to think, to be, and not concentrate on something so you can overanalyze anything, right? Like, look, we've all been told that we need to do things, and I don't know if that's the right thing to do, but if I really think about it, I can justify doing it, right? Well, you know, look, sales are made emotionally but justified logically. But you know, if you convince somebody, if you logic somebody into buying something, they typically have buyer's remorse, right? And so don't treat yourself that way. Don't logic your way into the right thing to do. What does the right thing to do feel like? You know in your gut what it feels like. If you don't know in your gut, then maybe you need to give yourself some space. Maybe you just need to sit quietly. Maybe you need to be okay. It's interesting. There have been a couple of times when I've done this. There have been a couple of times where I've just been quiet enough, I've just been calm enough, I've just been patient enough to let that inspiration hit me. It's pretty powerful. I've always been told that you work your way out of problems. You work your way through solutions. Be proactive. Be active. Sometimes you end up just tying yourself up in knots. And they say when you are digging a hole, when you're in the hole that you've dug for yourself, at some point you need to put down the shovel. What can you do? What do you need to do? Question for you. Do you know what you need to do right now? And are there people in your way? Are there people in your lives who are telling you otherwise? Are you letting those people convince you that you need to do otherwise? Or do you know what you need to do? And if you know, then do it. You get my permission to do it. And if there's something getting in your way of doing it, then let me know. Let's talk about that. But this being okay, this surrender concept, this should allow you to start paying better attention to yourself, being a little more mindful. You know, what are you really good at? What are you not so good at? What do you despise doing? If the right thing to do is something you just can't do, well, then there's help for that. You can hire it. You can find people to help you get better at it, things like that. But by this time in your career, if you've had any kind of career, you know what you're really good at. And you know that since you're really good at that, your intuition around those things is also really good. And that gut feeling is not going to lead you astray. So start paying attention to those things that you're good at, those things that you're not really good at, those things that you feel like you have to do, but you don't want to do them because you don't quite understand why you have to do them. Well, maybe the time is to question whether or not that stuff needs to be done. You know, I make the analogy, you know, where's that stack of business cards that's on your desk? It's been there for 6 months. Need to add those business cards to my contacts. Yeah, I just need to do it. It's only going to take like 10 minutes. I can just scan them right in. But I just haven't done it. Well, why do you need that person's business card after 6 months? If you didn't need it in the last 6 months, what's the likelihood you're going to need it in the next 6 months? How much better would it feel for you to just wipe those cards right into the recycle bin in your office, right? Sometimes that's what you need to do, is ignore the outside stuff. Ignore the logic people who are trying to convince you to do something that you know isn't the right thing to do. The other thing you need to pay attention to is when you do give yourself the space to explore, when you do go read, when you do go pay attention to what your colleagues are doing, what your competition is doing, whatever that is, are there things that just make sense? Like when you get rid of the noise in your head, is there something that just kind of clicks and makes sense and you see someone do something, you're like, oh my gosh, I should do that. Now all of a sudden you're starting to get some reinforcement that maybe you were so much in your own way that you didn't realize the right way, right? And be cautious with this because there's a lot of misinformation and disinformation out there. But when you start paying attention to what you're good at, what you really don't want to do anymore, what just kind of, you don't even recognize, maybe you weren't even looking for it, but it hits you upside the head and you're like, oh, I should do that. That is your path opening in front of you. Are you mindful enough to pay attention to it? Are you mindful enough to recognize it? One of those things, you know, it's, and I feel this way when I switch jobs. It's been 12, 13 years now, but you know, I switched jobs and there were a lot of things it felt like I needed to do, but nah, that's just not how we do it here. And then I switched jobs and I said, this is the way I'm going to do it. And it made sense. It had always made sense to me, but I was brave enough to actually follow those signals, those signs, those messages. It was an absolute career changer for me. Those times where you just say, no, this feels right. I got to do it this way. And it feels right because I gave myself the space. It feels right because I know what's right. And we're very, very cerebral as salespeople, as business owners, with so much at stake in 2020, it feels like there's more pressure to do the right thing. Well, when you get too cerebral, when you really start thinking too much, sometimes you prevent yourself from doing your best work. And we can equate that to swing thoughts on the golf course or really any athletic event. We can equate it to the boardroom. We can equate it to just about any major decision we've ever made. You know what the right thing is. And if you don't know what the right thing is, then maybe you should sit still for a little while. Maybe you should give yourself permission to be okay by reminding yourself what you know to be true. And you've done a lot to put yourself in the position that you're in right now. Trust it. Trust yourself. And trust yourself that even if you don't know the right decision, that you are capable of making good decisions when you know when it's time to make those calls. There is a ton of uncertainty still in front of us. This will not be the last time you're ever challenged in this way. Trust in yourself. It's hard to do. It's really hard to do. But trust yourself. Because you have to, because that's what it takes. That is the right thing to do every time. So I hope you learned some things. I hope I was able to synthesize some ideas for you, maybe give you some suggestions. Maybe there was something I said today that didn't totally make sense, but it's going to annoy you enough that it doesn't make sense that you're going to think about it for a while until it makes sense for you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for trusting me. Thank you for being willing to go a little bit deeper. And as I look back on 2020, this podcast in particular is one of the things I am just most proud of. And I think the work that Doug is doing to make this something unique, but the places that we're able to go for the last 22 minutes or whatever, I've gone places that I can't just go out in the open, because without context, it doesn't mean the same thing. But you're here, you're in this semi-private space here because you want to be. And that not only creates a space for you to get a bigger impact, but it creates a space for me to go places that can make a bigger impact. It's a really cool cycle. And I am just really appreciative that you're here along for the ride. We've got a lot more coming. 3 episodes a week. I don't see that slowing down anytime soon. And the guests and the topics and the production and everything is getting better. And we've got some cool things in store for you as listeners here pretty soon too. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'll talk to you again real soon.
Deeper Thought is a Pod About It production. It's edited and produced by me, Doug Branson. Nian Fiedler is an associate producer. Music provided by Blue Dot Sessions. This podcast is masterminded by Jeff Bajorek.